It doesn't look the same since this past Saturday. Even those who saw it on Tuesday evening, it doesn't even look the same that it did Tuesday evening. And Brother Robert would not be denied yesterday until he saw some sheetrock go up on that wall. And I think the rest of us were hoping he was going to be denied, but he was not denied until he saw some sheetrock up on that wall. And I appreciate that, brother. I really, really do. And I'm excited about the work of the Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Yeah. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 12 and start with verse number 1. It's always scary when the preacher starts at the front of the Bible. Because typically that means we got to go all the way to the end of the Bible. And praise the Lord. Hang on to your hats tonight. It may be a long ride. We'll see. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1 says, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." And let's pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you to God for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. I thank you to God for your presence tonight. Lord, I thank you to God for the work of the saints. And I thank you, Lord, for the excitement about your work. I pray to God, Lord, you anoint me to minister the message you've laid on my heart tonight. Use it to encourage us, strengthen us to God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to increase the work, Lord. You'll continue to increase your blessings. And I pray to God that you will continue to bring revival to this church. We give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this evening. As we begin to look here, this is a fairly familiar portion of Scripture. We find that God comes to Abram. And actually God had already talked to him in time past. And they had departed out of Ur of the Chaldees. And they made it a little ways towards where they were going. And Abram's father decided that was a good place to stop, which was Haran. And that is where Terah finished out his days, was at Haran. And after Terah had passed, we find that the word of the Lord comes again unto Abram and begins to once again reaffirm what had been spoken to him about getting out of the country and from his kindred and his father's house unto a land that I will show thee. What I begin to find interesting and through these next few verses, but the first thing that interests me is the fact that Abram departed from a land to a land that he did not know where he was going. That's the first thing I want to bring your attention to. God just said, I want you to leave and go to a place I'm going to show you. But he did not tell him where he was going. How do you think that Abram ended up in Canaan? How did Abram know which direction to go? These are just thoughts that pop into my mind. How did Abram even know when he departed Haran whether he was going to go north, south, east, or west? When Abram began to start this pilgrimage, he started without a sense of direction. But he had an unction to start. This is what happens to us when we come to God. When before we got saved, we were dwelling in a land wherein we were fairly comfortable with. But yet, as God began to deal with our hearts, he began to call us from a place to some place we did not know of. But while we did not know the direction, we responded to the unction. And we accepted Christ as our Savior, and thus we begin a journey for God. I just want to talk a little bit tonight about the journey. As we've been going about, we've been working in the new building, and there's just been a lot of things rolling through my mind. And a lot of it comes back to the process of the journey. And so I've just been thinking a lot about the journey, and as I began thinking about it and God began to speak some things to me, I wanted to share what he's been sharing with me with you. But what we begin to find is that Abram, as he's called, he begins to respond to the unction, and he begins to depart from where he was familiar with, and he begins to embark on a journey to a place where he knows not where he's going. This is where we're at when we come to Christ. We begin to start a journey with him from a place where we have been familiar into a territory that is unfamiliar, but yet we have a sense of urgency that we need to start on this journey. So we begin to find that a person once said, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. As the word of God came to Abram and he began to pack up everything, it could have been to the fact that he got the camels loaded and he got everybody packed up and they all stood around trying to decide whether or not we're going to start the journey. But there was something else that was said to Abram as God began to call him. He says, I will make of thee a great nation. When Abram started the journey, he was not a great nation. I will bless thee. When Abram started the journey, Abram had always lived under the blessing of Terah, never on his own. Something stirred within Abram's heart, and he said, I would desire that God would bless me, not because of who I've been associated with, but because of who I am to God. But he was not blessed at this point. Abram's name was not great at this point. And at this point, Abram really didn't see how he could be a blessing. There was, a lot of things about Abram as God began to call him and God began to tell him what he was going to be, that as you looked at Abram, he was not that yet. As God begins to look at our lives and he begins to call us, he begins to unction us, and he begins to put us on this process of a journey into the kingdom of God, there's a lot of things that he tells us we can be and we will be, but we're not always there yet. A journey needs a beginning, but often we do not know or even need a destination. Now, if you visit with Sister Sarah, you'll find really quickly that I need a destination. When I get into my pickup truck, I like to know where I'm going. I like to be able to get in. If I have an appointment at 4 o'clock in Owosso, I want to be able to punch that address in that GPS and it tells me exactly when I need to leave to be there at exactly 4 o'clock and exactly how to get there, what roads to take. And now, did you know GPS even routes you around traffic jams? And there's several settings in GPS in which you can put no toll or yes toll, quickest route, or only country roads. But you'll begin to find that a lot of times when I get into my truck and I'm ready to go somewhere, I have a destination in mind. It's the way that I'm geared. It's how I like to be. I don't like to just wander around with no direction. I like to have a destination. But what I begin to find is that in the kingdom of God, sometimes God is sparse on the details of destinations. Instead, he gives us goals. He gives us what we call checkpoints. You'll begin to find that sometimes races of endurance, they do have an eventual destination. But for the racers that are racing in 12-hour, 24-hour races, they have checkpoints. They just try to last from checkpoint to checkpoint. And sometimes they begin to find that as they hit these checkpoints, something in the route has changed and they have to go a different direction. What I begin to find is that when you're living for God, the journey is more a series of checkpoints. It's a series of making it to a certain place where God begins to say, yes, you've made it here, but now it's time to go this way. Now it's time to go that way. Sometimes we get frustrated. We would say, well, I would like to see the destination, God. And God may say, I don't have a destination yet. Sometimes, and this has happened as I get older, me and the wife will go just driving. And this is something I have learned from her. And she has learned it from her father. It's called going and getting in the vehicle and just making random decisions on random roads and random left and right turns. I've discovered a lot of the countryside just around my house that I never even knew existed, because I never had a need to go down that road. I've seen some beautiful properties. I've seen some beautiful houses. I've seen some beautiful countrysides. All because I got in a vehicle without a destination. But sometimes it becomes frustrating when you don't have a destination. Sometimes we'll get in the vehicle, we'll get ready to go somewhere, and the kids will say, well, where are we going? And me and Sarah will say, we're just going to go driving. You know what they say? Oh. They don't enjoy the journey. But I've got to a point and a place where I have learned to enjoy driving without a destination when I have time to do so. Because I find that I begin to learn things that I hadn't previously known. And sometimes these things that I learn are beneficial to me and help me along life's way to know something that I didn't know. But the kids are young and they don't know the joys of enjoying the journey without a destination. To them, it's something of long and drawn out. And many times they become impatient with the pace of progress getting somewhere. We've taken a few more trips this year than we used to. And we've taken some long trips this year. And the kids get in the car and we're headed somewhere. And they ask, how long until we get there? And we'll say, hey, it's a 4-hour drive today. Well, when we started going to North Carolina, the first stint was 4 hours. Then the next stint was 8. They begin to enjoy the 4-hour stints after the 8-hour ones. But when we say 4 hours, then I find that in 30 minutes, how much longer, Dad? And I'll say, 4 hours. Another 30 minutes. I'll say, how much longer, Dad? I'll say, 4 hours. And they'll say, you said that 2 times ago. And I normally space that out about an hour, because when they get there and we arrive and they think they had 30 minutes to an hour still to go, you know how excited and happy they are that we got to the destination? But many times we become frustrated with the journey because God begins to take us down some country roads. God begins to take us down some paths that we're not really sure how they're useful to us. We begin to have to endure some things and experience some things that were just a little bit more than a change of scenery. And we begin to wonder and we begin to question about the destination that we're headed to. And I tell you something, church, as Abram began to launch out and he began to go, I'm sure there were some times where he got frustrated with the journey. There were some times where he said, God, when are you going to bless me? When will I become a great nation? When are you going to do what you've promised to me? I don't even have a son and I'm 90 years old. And God says, you need to wait another 10 years before you hit that checkpoint, Abram. We can become frustrated with the journey. Galatians 6 and 9 says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing. What is well-doing? Doing your job well. What is my job as a Christian? What has God told you to do? Did we get up this morning and we say, God, what do you want me to do? Many of us don't have to do that because we already know what we're supposed to be doing. If you spent any length of time in church, if you spent any length of time reading your Bible, you spent any length of time praying, you're going to find that there are things as a Christian you just do. There's things we do every day. Paul says, I die daily. I crucify my flesh daily. What does that entail? It tells me saying no to sin and yes to God. That's well doing. That's what we got to do every day, church. That is our job as Christians. When we find that, Paul writes to the church at Galatia, he says, don't be weary in doing your job well. Don't become frustrated with the seeming lack of direction. Don't begin to feel like you're in a dead-end job. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. I'm thankful tonight that I have been able to walk on this journey long enough to begin to see how the paths that God directs us down begin to become the stepping stones to a greater future and a new checkpoint and a better destination. But there was once a time in my life where I didn't understand the path. I was frustrated with the journey. I wasn't enjoying the journey. I didn't understand the journey. And I was wondering why it had to be this way. Let me tell you something. If you're in that position, just hold on and keep doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. Because there's going to come a time where you're going to hit a mountaintop and you're going to look back and you're going to begin to see that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. There was a reason for every path that I had to go down because it was a part of the journey that God had called me to. Stay faithful in what God has told you to do. As an employer, the main thing you look for in an employee is faithfulness. Many times I've looked, and I don't really have employees now, but I have subs. But I've worked in job places where we had employees and we had helpers and I had men underneath me and stuff like that. And I've made the comment, I would rather have somebody that showed up every day and knew half of what the guy that only showed up part-time knew. I can do more with the guy who knows less, but he's there every day on time, consistently ready to work, than with the guy who's only there half the time that knows as much as I am, or I do. God's looking for individuals that are not necessarily the best, not necessarily the most brilliant, not even the smartest, not even the most hardworking, but the most consistent and the most faithful. That's the ones that God's looking for. Stay faithful in what God has told you to do. As we continue to look at Abram's life, we begin to find that he had many tests. He had many trials. He had some times where he failed the test. But then I begin to find that Abram quickly began to learn from his mistakes. And his tests began to be harder, but he continued to pass them with flying colors. By the time that Abraham made it up to Mount Moriah to sacrifice Isaac, Abraham had learned to enjoy the journey. And as God began to test him and began to put him through the ringer, so to speak, Abraham already knew the faithfulness of God. Abraham already knew that sometimes you take a country road. Abraham already knew that sometimes you don't know the destination. You don't know the plan. You don't know the purpose.
had to face another test. Abraham finally made it to a point in his life where he was becoming the great nation, where his name was becoming known, where his whole household was blessed, and where he had become a blessing. I want to point this out. Abram didn't get there overnight. We find that he was 75 years old when he departed with nothing. He was 100 years old when he had Isaac. I should have done my research just a little bit further to find out exactly how old he was when he passed. But he lived several more years, long enough to see Isaac marry Rebekah. And see God's faithfulness time and time and time again. The longer you walk this journey, church, the more you begin to trust the process. And the more you begin to quit dwelling on the destination. And you begin to enjoy this process called the journey. Because I can tell you something, that there's going to be more happen in the journey than there's going to happen in the destination. But so many times we're always focused on the end that we fail to miss everything that God's trying to show us while we're going through this journey. Let's see here. Brother Isaac, can you help me tonight? Can you come down here and stand at this end of the altar? Just right here. Okay. This is my good friend, Brother Isaac. Brother Isaac's going to represent the past tonight. Brother Timothy, can you stand up here, please? Stand right beside Brother Isaac. Nice and good-looking boys. We worked them hard yesterday. Let's see here. Who else do I want to use? Brother Larry Joshua, can you help me tonight? Come on up here. I want you to stand right here in the middle. Brother Larry's God. You got some big shoes to fill tonight, brother. Here's what it looks like when we start the journey. This is the present. This is when we was lost. This is when we was without Christ. And then we begin to feel an unction from God. And we begin to take a step away from who we were. Brother Timmy, take a couple steps up. And begin to launch into something that was new. When we begin to take those first few steps, our eyes are focused on the end. And our whole focus is making it from where we were to the end. So what we begin to find is we begin to do our job well. And we begin to do what God asks us to do. We begin to progress forward. Take a couple more steps, Brother Timmy. Halt right there. We begin to find as we focus on doing what God has asked us to do, we continue to do our job well, that we begin to distance ourselves from the past, and we begin to head ourselves towards the future. Go ahead and take a couple more steps. But what we begin to find, it seems that we're almost to get up to where we feel like we need to be. God moves a couple more steps on ahead of us. And as we begin to put our head down and we continue to do what God has asked us to do, take a couple more steps. The enemy comes along and he says, you need to be frustrated because you're spending all this time trying to get where you're going. But it seems that God is just moving a couple steps on ahead. How come you keep doing this? How come you keep putting the effort in? How come you continue to live the way you do? Well, let me tell you something, Brother Timmy. Turn around and look behind you. Look how far you have come from where you used to be. Turn around, brother. Look where you're going. Continue to step on up. What I begin to find, go ahead, God, take another couple steps. As we continue on this journey, we continue to do what God has called us to do. And we continue to walk in what God has shown us to walk in. We live holiness, Brother Timmy. We do everything that God asks us to do. Come on, take another couple steps. One of these days, we're going to walk right on out of this life. And we're going to reach our eternal destination in heaven. Go ahead and make it home, brother. And what I begin to find is that God these answer questions that in the beginning you did not even think to ask. I'm excited, church, about the journey. I'm excited that I finally reached a place in God where I can look back and I can see how I have been able to distance myself from the past. And I begin to realize why I had to walk the paths that I had to walk. Why I dealt with some of the things that I dealt with. Why I encountered individuals that I wondered why they had to be in my life. I begin to find that goodness and mercy have followed me every step of the way. Even when I didn't realize it. Even when I was frustrated. Even when I was angry. Even when I said I want to quit. God said the journey is the point. So many times we preach about heaven, and we need to preach about heaven because heaven is the eternal destination. But I fully believe that you can get your eyes so much on heaven that you perfectly miss the point of this journey. This journey was never meant to be easy. What I begin to find, and Brother Clinton had said it so well the other night, anything of value to God, God puts the pressure to it. So if you find that your path is hard, you find that the path is frustrating, you find that sometimes it feels like the journey is unbearable, I want to point something out to you. You're valuable to God. God sees something in you that's worth pushing you to your limits. So that you begin to realize the true and utter faithfulness of who He is. Anything that is worth doing right. And anything worth doing right is worth doing well. And what I begin to find is that every morning that I get up, I have to continue to put one foot in front of the other. I don't become a blessing overnight. I don't become a nation overnight. I don't become a great name overnight. But I become a great name. I become a nation. I become a blessing one day at a time as I continue to walk down this path that God has put in front of me. Enjoy the journey that God has placed you on. Enjoy it, church. Enjoy it. You say, well, Brother Jason, I want you to just come walk a day in my shoes and see if you enjoy the journey that I'm walking on. I would like to tell you that there's not a person in this building who hasn't worn your set of shoes at some point in time in their life. And while we're going through the rough times, we don't always enjoy the journey. But what I want to encourage you is that for every rough path that you walk, there's going to be a smooth path to walk after it. So if you keep pressing on, you keep pushing on, you're going to find that there's a destination to the faithful. And when you think you have arrived, you're going to find out there's more to walk on. Now I feel like as the church, we're on a journey, and God's favor is shining, and God's blessing the journey right now. But there has been 15 years, is that what I, 16 years? There's been 16 years of some hard paths walked, of some times where it was downright depressing to sometimes come to church because there wasn't a lot of people here and there wasn't anybody that was embracing the vision for the church or even the journey for the church. But God has brought the church on a journey. Different people have come in, people have gone out. There's a few faces that have been here the whole time, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. But as we continue to walk this journey as the church, we also are still walking journeys as individuals. And while the journey of the church is important, don't just focus on the journey of the church. Because as you focus on your personal journey, when you join yourself to the church, God's plan for your life coincides with God's plan for the church's life. And if we make the mistake of just focusing on the journey of the church, we will miss the journey that God has in store for me and for you. So I want to encourage you tonight. Journeys are meant to be enjoyed. Sometimes you need to crawl in the seat of the pickup truck, stick the key in the ignition, and just take off driving. Other times God's going to say, you need to get pancake mix, bacon, eggs, and syrup. You need to get it at Warehouse Market, and you need to be there before 4:30. And you're going to get in the truck, and you're going to go to Warehouse Market, and you're going to get everything that was on that list by 4:30. But most of the time, God says, get in the truck, turn the key on, take off driving, and let's see where we end up at. And while it may seem like a chaotic mess to us, we begin to find that as we continue to live every day doing what we're told to do, that God is really at the wheel and he's driving us through the mess exactly where we needed to go. When I was looking up some of these quotes, I saw a picture and said, this is what people think of the road to success. And it's a straight line. It says, in reality, this is the road to success. And it goes all the way up and around. All like that. Sometimes that's the way it is, living this journey for God. But if Abraham could be here today, and you could ask Abraham, Abraham, was the journey worth it? You know what Abraham would say? Every last minute. I wouldn't change a thing. I want to encourage us as we're standing, Sister Lindsay's coming back to the piano. I want to encourage us tonight. Enjoy this journey. Enjoy the journey that the church is on. Enjoy the work that we get to put forth into the building. Enjoy the favor of God on this project. But while you're enjoying that, do not neglect your personal life's journey of getting up every day, doing your job as a Christian well, every day for God. Because that is the true journey that's going to count. And while some days we might not want to get up in the morning and we might not want to put one foot in front of the other, I begin to find that every day we still have to put the same feet down. We still have to put a left foot in and a right foot in the shoes. And we still got to get up and we got to walk out the door. And we got to do what we know we got to do through the day. It's no different serving God. Some days you just don't feel the pep. You don't feel the zip. And you definitely don't feel the anointing when you're getting out of bed on Monday morning to face the day. But I find that just as you get out of bed every other Monday morning and you face the day, sometimes you got to get out of bed every morning and do what God has asked you to do. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We can skip Thursday, right? It's church day. Now, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Rinse and repeat. Go again. Enjoy the journey, church. If that's anything that God has been laying on my heart as I've been pondering the journey, it's enjoy it. Embrace it. Don't fight it. Don't buck it. Don't resist it. But grab a hold of it. Embrace it. And let God do what he's wanting to do in your life right now. Let's gather in these altars tonight. Let's have us a time of prayer.